Can I actually wind you back a bit, Alistair, to schoolboy rugby?
Yeah.
Because you played representative rugby at schoolboy level. And played with future Gloucester players?
Well, Mike Longstaff. I remember that I played for... my dad was based... He was an RAF man, and he was based in the east of the country. We were in RAF Ely at the time. So my way up through the representative ranks was to play for Cambridgeshire and then Eastern Counties, and then you play for London, and then you play against teams like the South West, and then so it's London, South West, North and Midlands were the four representative sides. So I played for London. We always had a game against the South West. So I remember Mike Longstaff playing against us in that game, and not many other Gloucester players that played for Gloucester I can think of, but that was the beginning of the great West Country rivalry. John Scott, I think, the future England player, played in that game for the South West. But it was an interesting weapon. I was a scrum half all my life, schoolboy level. I flirted a little bit with outside half, but basically I was a scrum half, and that's always where I thought I was going to stay. And certainly when I played my first season with Bristol, I was a scrum half. It was only when I went to university and Richard Harding was in residence and on selection and scrum half that I realised that I couldn't probably play for the first team at scrum half, and somebody said, well, you try full back, so I moved there.
And that worked out well.
Well, it had its moments, yes.
So, having had that first game for Bristol United against Gloucester United, when was your first team game against Gloucester? Do you remember that?
I'm not sure that I do. I think we probably... Actually, I do remember that I played for them played against Gloucester for Cambridge University on the next February or March.
I was going to ask you about that game.
4-5. And this was a magnificent game. it was one of those things... Well, because I was the secretary in succession to Richard Harding, so I was now on selection, and I was determined I was going to get in at scrum half. And so therefore that helped a lot. And we had a very, very talented side at Cambridge University in those days. And in those days, the selectors and the press used to come and watch Cambridge University because they played against all the top sides and they could judge other people in relation. But you also got a lot of exposure. And England in 75 were going through a terrible time. And there was all sorts of press speculation about who's going to get in the side because they tried 20-odd players that year. And there was all this speculation about these young blokes from Cambridge University who were going to get in the England side. And there was myself at scrum half. There was a guy called Alan Wordsworth at outside half. There was Peter Warfield, who'd already played once for England, but he was a centre. And there was and Gordon Wood was a great winger. And there was this sort of thing about the Cambridge backs and how wonderful they were and how they all should play for England. Well, of course, if you start putting that sort of stuff in the papers, particularly in front of people like the Gloucester supporters who've got their own favourites like Peter Kingston and Peter Butler and all of those others, and once you say there are these talented youngsters coming from university and they ought to play for England, well, that was red rag to a bull. And I remember coming down here to King's Home, and I'd warn the guys and say, look, you know, they're a bit sort of bit one-eyed and rugby orientated here and so on. I mean, we came down there and we had a very competitive side, but we knew we had no forwards, because what happens is also at the university in those days, the forwards who played in the varsity match, if they were leaving, they would concentrate on their studies in the second term. So the second term, you basically had some very young forwards and you had the same backs, or the backs who were staying on, and we had no forwards to speak of. And we were coming down, and we just realised we had to get the ball and get it away from the pack as soon as possible. Well, of course, Gloucester realised that that wasn't the way to do it. And I remember coming down, and we were, you know, young, small, slim and quick, but very physically compared to Gloucester, we were just boys against men. And this is where the crowd is my first sort of big recollection of the crowd, the King's Own crowd in the shed. Because in those days, you came out from the shed side.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was always this thing. Our boys, the Cambridge boys, couldn't understand, you know, quite how one-eyed and whatever it was. You know, you go into a place where it says, welcome to King's Home above the door, and it's sort of like a message of doom. And then you go into a dressing room and it's already painted cherry and white. You know, and the guys are going, well, what have we let ourselves in for? And then you have to come down through the shed and they're all shouting. And I remember in those days they called us, here come the schoolboys. Here come the schoolboys. Give them shoe pie. And all this sort of thing. And everybody was quaking and going out there, and we were trying desperately to avoid the physical contact and get the ball away. And I can't remember what the game was, but I haven't got them here now, but I probably could find them. Somebody took some photographs for one of the local papers, and he gave them to me afterwards of me playing against Gloucester. And what was noticeable about it was that I was the only Cambridge player in every shot. There was about five or six great big Gloucester blokes bearing down on me and trying to knock hell out of me. Did we win the game? I think we probably didn't in that
you
game.
You lost 31-3, I'm afraid.
Yes, I thought so. It was Chopper, it was Bayliss and Jardine in the centre. They decided that Warfield was not going to survive. Warfield was the guy who was tipped to play for England, and they were the hard men in the Gloucester centre, so they came barrelling through and kicked hell out of poor Warfield. And Wordsworth, I don't think Wordsworth survived the game either if he played. It was boys against men stuff.
Yeah, Peter West said Bayliss scored from an unstoppable drive. And John Watkins, the back John row had a field day too,
yeah,
didn't they?
That's right,
John Watkins scored two tries and made a third.
That's right. I think it was boys against men, and I think we realised that.
And who were the Gloucester players who made a real impression on you that day?
They all meld into one at this sort of distance, but John Watkins certainly he was in the picture. The two centres. Who would have been scrum half against me? Kingo, might have been Kingston.
Kingston, yeah.
No, I'd the name. They're all, the cherry and white hordes. Yeah. I think Fids was probably playing. John Fiddler would have been playing, I would think. Yeah.
Further visits to Kingsham after that?
Well, they move into Melbourne to win. I remember one game for Bristol where Dave Rollitt was playing for us, and he's this tough, hard Yorkshireman who loved the confrontation, loved the physical stuff of it, and he loved the fact that when you come to King's Home, the crowd really are against you, and especially if you're from Bristol. And he would love coming down. He would march up and down in front of the shed, just going, "Come on, you know." And and we said, "Look, Dave, you don't have to do that, because all you're going to do is get everybody really against us." He had to go down like the old gladiator. "Come on, you know, take it on." I've got these sort of my after dinner stories always involve coming to King's Home, because the level of banter and the level of rugby expertise as well, and knowledge and humour is just fantastic. And I always love, you know, and again, I tell the story that the thing about Gloucester supporters is that they really do hate people from Bristol. They're absolutely abhor fullbacks, because they can see them and get them in the line, and they're always standing on their own, and they can always shout insults at them. They don't like anybody outside the forwards, really, you know, any backs at all. Are fair game for the shed, and of course if you come from university as well, then you're one of these schoolboys, and if you do all four, which is what I did, you are particularly picked out. And I always felt that whenever I came out to play, you'd run down in front of the shed, and I always tell people that was a slight exaggeration, but it sounded as if that it was the venue for the World Gobbing Championships whenever Bristol or thing, because you go down, you have to go down that little
steps
down from the old gymnasium, and there was always why, and they always used to greet me with this fantastic thing of, "Here, Alice." And, you know, I couldn't understand why, you know, a short, fat bloke with a beard should be called Alice by the Gloucester supporters, but maybe that says something about the Gloucester men. Or maybe it says more about the Gloucester women. But they would call me Alice. "Here, Alice." And if you remember at the time, I was a county cricketer as well. So you'd have thought that playing for Gloucestershire, I'd have a bit of leeway. But no, "Oi, Alice, go back to cricket." And then a mate down there would say, "You're no bloody good at that either." and the other story I tell is that when the first time you touch the ball, I always say I failed to make an 80-yard touch kick left foot against the wind, but it wasn't quite that big. But the first time you kick the ball and touch, "Oi, that's your second mistake. Your first was coming here." So it was lovely banter from the crowd. And it was hostile. It was always very, very hostile. And, of course, that's some people don't like playing in front of that, but I just used to love that. That was like the roll it, you know. I wouldn't go around waving my fist in the air. I wasn't that big or brave, but I love the atmosphere because, you know, there was this real intensity and this real love for the game and this humour as well. So, you know, the great thing about rugby is they take the mickey out of the opposition and the referee, and something they do it as a humorous thing rather than as footballers do and try to be insulting about it. So those were early days, yeah, playing at King's Home.